It is Tuesday, the 25th of November, and this is episode 230 of Digital Outbox. Hello, welcome along to another episode of Digital Outbox. I am Chris, and joined as always by Ian. Hello, Ian.
Evening, Chris. How the devil are you?
I'm very good. Shock horror, I'm playing games again at the moment.
What?
I know, what happened? Xbox One actually ended up being a gaming machine. Oh, and I bought the Xbox One TV tuner as well, on a weird whim.
Was that to watch iPlayer?
No, I've got iPlayer sorted. Weirdly, I just thought, why not? It's only like £20. And I thought I'll try out a bit of hardware. And it gives me free view HD, no problems.
Very good.
Yeah. So I've not used it.
So
it's like my Chromecast, it's a great idea. I just don't use it at the moment.
What games are you playing then?
So I am working my way through Halo, all the single players. So I'm quite enjoying. I've got Shadow of Mordor, which I also am enjoying. But there's three on the go. I can't think of the word I'm looking for.
Uncharted. Probably.
Not Uncharted. I am playing...
Unheard of.
What's the Dragon Age? Dragon Age Inquisition. There you go, as well. That's all kicked off. So plenty of longevity and single player. None of this multiplayer rubbish.
Speaking of multiplayer, so, I did get some multiplayer Halo in.
Okay.
So the big patch that they talked about was released last week. And I jumped on Friday. Mal joined me, and we had a couple of games together, and then it all got difficult. But when I just tried to get into games myself, you had to still wait a couple of minutes. But you did get in, and when you got in,
so you felt they will get this sorted. It will be sorted. So it's
exactly
it's just a matter of time. But being a little bit patient, we wait this long, we can. As long as Halo 5 isn't out before they get it sorted, then...
Well, the Halo 5 beta is December 29th. Mm. And there's lots of, if you go on the right forums, they're all saying they should release that early and that'll appease us all. And it's like, how do you know it's not based in the same tech?
Well, yeah, and not only that, it won't be ready because otherwise they would have done it earlier. Anyway, yeah, so, gaming, who knew? And Halo 2 on the, the new revamped version with all the new cutscenes is pretty impressive to behold. And certainly when you compare back, I think I mentioned before, comparing back from the old, the Halo 1 it was pretty amazing, but this is even better. They really did a good job, especially with the cutscenes.
Good.
There you go. Let's get on with some news, shall we? And let's talk about terrorists. We seem to do a lot of that, as everyone else seems to do right now, because obviously it affects our daily life all the time. I feel constantly worried and scared. UK ISPs are basically going to be offering up a report terrorism button. There's already one for child abuse. Now there's going to be one for terrorism. So the government's basically encouraged them to do this. They've said, fine, we'll put a reporting tool up. And that's going to solve everything.
Yeah. I have mixed views on this because I still think this is just, basically pandering to, we've done something rather than actually doing anything active.
Yeah.
So they're going to put a page up to report something. Whoopie-doo.
Yeah, so basically, but they're saying that lots of content does get reported and therefore gets pulled off actively. So it's kind of one of those things where you can't bemoan the sentiment. It just, as long as it's used properly.
No, and the start
it depends what they mean, because this is all about radicalizing. As long as it's not there to quash news that we don't want, or they don't want, they in inverted commas don't want us to hear. As long as it's used in the right way, then sure.
And if the stats are true, they say they're pulling off 1,000 pieces of content that breach the Terrorism Act every week, which is quite a high number. I guess the internet's a big place, and approximately 800 of those are related to Syria and Iraq.
Yeah, and again, but as long as it's not just, you know, the opposing view or something like that that's getting pulled, that's, as long as it's, you know, it's got to be glorifying and inciting hatred is what is effectively.
Because there was some evidence earlier this year that there was some content getting pulled, which was basically just reporting, you know, at street level what's happening and not necessarily what your Sky, ITV, BBC are telling us. Mm. And that was getting classed as, well, that's, you know, that's maybe inciting people to do it. And it's like, well, hold on.
Yes.
There's a fine line.
Of course there is. But you can't moan at the sentiment. You just feel that it might be a little bit being into the wind. Internet data plan is also back on the agenda. So we've had Theresa May being wheeled around everywhere this week. Literally just going from one show to the next, to the radio, to back to TV again. Telling us how basically the police are going to be allowed access to, or ISPs will be required to store who had what IP at what time. And then police will have access to who had that IP at that particular time. And they reckon this is going to go some way to helping them, again, solve terrorism.
If they'd done this in conjunction with ISPs rather than announcing it, and then look into the ISPs and say, yeah, you will do this, because it does look like, you know, so so James Massey, who's chairman of the ISP Association, has said, and I guess it will cost, you know, tens if not hundreds of millions. I'm not sure if it'll be hundreds of millions, but it will cost money. I'm sure that'll get passed on to us.
And it will, you know, problem is, IPs can, you know, identify a device at a particular time. They have no way of identifying a person at a time. So there it does go some way to de-anonymizing things. But as the ISPs point out, it's not going to stop the people you want to stop, because they just masked their IP. They certainly wouldn't use a, you know, fixed IP from their back bedroom kind of thing. Or, you know, if they do, then they're not big time, you know, the kind of people they want to stop, I don't think. Anyway, they've got their reasons. That a lot of news was saying, you know, is this going back to the whole Snoopers Charter, which was thrown out by Parliament? And in some ways it is, but it's certainly a lesser scale and something that seems more swallowable, as long as it doesn't then lead to expansion.
Yeah, and I think you're right. I mean, it reminded me a bit of how they did all this stuff about piracy and blocking sites, and it has led to quite a downturn in, you know, hits going to those sites.
Yeah, yeah.
But the ones that are, you know, folk that are determined to do it can still do it really easily, and I think it'll be the same for this.
Exactly. And it still is incredibly uncomfortable listening to someone who's supposed to be democratically responsible for all these technologies, really not understanding the technologies. So the fact that they don't consult with the ISPs means that they have their advisors. I mean, the whole point that she's saying that she needs to be in charge of all this is to make it democratically accountable, which is fine, but you can tell from the way she talks, she doesn't understand what she's saying.
No.
She's reeling off words that are given to her by advisors, and those advisors aren't democratically accountable. So it really needs someone to understand this technology who's in that position. And I don't believe we've got the person, you know, we've got someone who can talk very strong language, but she doesn't understand what she's saying.
No, and it's...
And that might be doing her a disservice. That's just me as a punter listening to what she's talking
about. No, and it does feel like that. It's the same way when you hear like business leaders, you know, talking about, you know, either a chancellor or some of the kind of business ministers, and saying, we really need somebody that's got experience of business to be running these things, not, you know, a career politician. That has been, you know, ballooned in and has seen it as a stepping stone onto something else. I'm not saying Theresa May's
But these positions always get career politicians.
Exactly, but I do think something has to change. I do think something, you know, even if they're acting as that figurehead, that they then hand over and say, we've actually, you know, we've brought somebody in that's acting as almost like the technologies are, and they're going to explain why we're not doing this.
Yeah.
I think it would also give us a bit more stability. You know, if you look at what, you know, so the GDS are doing and how they're kind of transforming government behind the scenes from a technology viewpoint. You know, if you have somebody that's in place that is actually, and it'll be the same for business, you know, so yes, they do have to react. And I know the civil service should be doing this. They do have to react to the different governments and the different, you know, policies. But if you could get somebody in with a bit of stability.
The biggest problem that they've got is there's that, you know, it clashes with governmental requirements, especially in time coming up to elections, basically, because if you get someone in who does know what they're talking about, the chances are they will give them a reel of problems associated with nearly every kind of requirement that's raised as far as either legality, practicality and cost. So they don't want that. They just want a quick headline. And that's what they've got this time. You know, we're doing things to solve these problems. We're going to get this thing called an IP, an IP address for all these users. And then suddenly we're going to be able to solve terrorism.
Yes. And this is, I mean, the thing is, this isn't too much different to the Snoopers Charter that the Lib Dems claimed that they threw out. So it'll be interesting tomorrow to see when this is actually, you know, put forward as part of the bill.
I think that's unfair. I think it is quite considerably different.
It's different, but where the parts that the Lib Dems concerned about, is this close enough to it to cause a ripple?
And that part, and it's still an issue, is why are you requesting that they store the details of every single person's IP address, where they connected and what they were connected to? Why not have it as a limited scope? As soon as you've got a person of interest, then you start tracking that. That's the thing. So it is the bulk collection of. Nevertheless, I logging tables would collect this kind of data anyway. It's just a matter of storage. So. You don't know that information is not private anyway. It's only because they can't be asked storing it.
And I guess there's some stuff that has come out tonight about the Lee Rigby murder that is saying, and I'm just going to jump to the BBC News. So basically Facebook hosted some posts 5 months before it. And now the PM has just come out actually and is warning internet firms that they must do more on terror. So he's saying the big internet companies have a social responsibility to act on this material. So I think he's big.
Whilst also having a responsibility to people's privacy.
Exactly. But they have, I mean, the report today did say that while there were certain things that the security service could have done, there was nothing they could have done to prevent this. So basically,
Because that's the big lie, is there's nothing, this is veering away from technology podcast, there's nothing they can do to stop a lone person going to kill someone. That's the whole fallacy. They believe they can make us feel safe with all these measures, but actually all they do is make us feel scared. And really, there's nothing they can do anyway.
No,
if they say they can, they're lying.
Yeah. So what had happened was that 5 months before, one of the killers spoke about murdering a soldier, and the intelligence agencies didn't know about it. And Facebook said it did not allow terrorist content named to stop it, but the PM is saying that they need to do more.
Well. That was in the peak time for our intelligence agency supposedly snooping everything. So the fact is, it didn't work anyway, did it, loves? Loves. Skype has gone. Skype is going to bring web-based voice and video. And this is going to be web-based voice and video without the need for plugins, using the WebRTC standard. This is quite interesting. Plus, it's not only going to be... Internet Explorer, it's going to support Chrome, Firefox and Safari as well. So across all the things. So good for them. I guess Google Hangouts equivalent.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's the right step. Another sign that Microsoft are, you know, another step in the right direction.
Yeah, they've got these technologies. Let's use them properly. So, it's only going to be rolled out very narrow. It's in a narrow band to start with, and then it'll get widened out. Because you can currently chat on through a web browser. And in fact, you can actually video call currently, but you need a plugin installed.
Yeah.
And so this is a big, big, big step to having a lower threshold to get in.
Yeah. And it's interesting just the way that you'd framed it there, just with the whole, you know, they've got technologies. I think that there's nobody's doubted that Microsoft have got the smarts and the technology. It's just the way they've applied it. I mean, Skype was always, remember when we first started, we could only do one-to-one. You had to pay to get, like, you know, if Henry joined or Shaq joined, but if we wanted to do the video.
Yeah, I've
calls.
Got a premium thing for that reason.
Yeah, and I think before that we were audio only. We were doing audio only chats, and it just lost, you know, when you just lost the video. It's nice, nice to see your chubby little cheeks and sort of say hello.
Even though the listeners are spared from our faces for radio.
I wasn't talking about your face.
my cheeks are an integral part of my face. Anyway, yes, you're spared from that, but we do use video and it's important for us, so I can actually tell there's someone there. Facebook has launched something it's called Facebook Tech Wire, and basically it's them trying to be the source for breaking tech news, trying to take away some of Twitter's market lead, really, in that.
Yes. So, and also, I mean, it feels like a bit of like Tech Meme as well, which I use just to catch up every day.
I'm not going to visit a Facebook page to catch up on tech news.
No.
Well, I don't think I am. Maybe I will. Maybe it'll become the only place you do want to go, but I doubt it.
It just feels, it still feels like one person's view on the tech news rather than me following lots of different things to then, you know, get the information. So it's, I'm not quite sure. I mean, and I'm looking at it just now, it looks fairly sparse.
You know, it doesn't look exciting. It's not very nice implementation, as in it's just a Facebook page, basically, with news stories going down it. So, and it's certainly, you know, Twitter's thing is that you get small digests that are then linked to extra articles. This, you know, it fits better with Twitter. Anyway, they've released it as a, you know, let's see what happens, I guess.
I mean, basically, I'm just looking down at that, was like, you know, 10 stories for the last day. And which I guess is equivalent to maybe like a tech meme popular one, but they didn't feel like popular posts because some of the stuff that was there was like, that's not the kind of big thing happening right now.
Well, I think we need to be careful because sometimes the big thing from our consumer point of view is not really the big thing in the technology.
No, it is.
There can be, you know, a web protocol could be released that we just don't have the slightest interest in actually announcing. Exactly, because it doesn't mean anything until someone makes anything on it. But in the real tech world, then that might be the most interesting thing going at the time.
But hold on, what do you want to talk about? A fantastic new protocol that's going to revolutionize the world, or Halo is still broke?
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about Halo is still broken because no one cares about the protocol the protocol does something cool.
Like make Halo work.
or have Skype in a window. There you go. Facebook have also launched the standalone groups app this week. They've kind of learnt from the backlash against the Messenger app being, because effectively the standalone app is in addition to having groups still inside of the normal app. So they've kind of learnt their lesson from the fact they stripped out the Messenger aspect out of the apps. So there'll be no quick switching. If you want to access groups inside of the existing Facebook apps, you can. It's a bit cumbersome. So they've actually tried to release them into their own app, trying to make them more usable for people to be actual locations. Kind of clashes with they were talking about the Facebook groups that they were going to take over from forums with another bit of technology.
Rooms.
Rooms, that was it.
So they released rooms, but they are trying to keep that totally standalone and separate.
But it just seems that they're kind of competing with each other, really.
Yeah, I know. But is it such a big company that they just do that? They just throw something out there and say, go and fight, and whatever one wins, we'll use?
Yeah, maybe. But anyway, so yeah, you can effectively now you have an app, and it basically means on your mobile device, groups now make more sense. You can get to them, you can contribute, and you can sort of enjoy them a bit better. So there you go.
And it's fairly clean. It doesn't have all the clutter of Facebook, and it was, I don't know, easy. I actually quite liked it.
Twitter has opened up its archive of all of its tweets. So basically it's indexing 500 billion tweets currently. And you will be able to basically pull back a search in, they reckon, under 100 milliseconds.
It works really quickly, actually.
There you go. I think Twitter technology, the NoSQL or whatever they're using is still amazing. It still blows my mind anyway. Good for them, I guess. I mean, it does make Twitter another technology where you can never lose, you know, you can never take back what you've said.
Well, you could. You can. I mean, you can go and delete a post. You can still go and delete something.
But you know that won't really delete it.
No, because people go and scream. I mean, there was a thing on, was it on BBC News tonight? That I think,
someone had put something out, had they, and you can never go back.
Yeah. Boris Johnson's sister, basically called Cameron a James Hunt.
Wow.
Just said, why is he such an egg-faced
Wow.
And then a wee while later, sorry, I was hacked. And it's like, see this, see this hack nonsense. Aye.
We'll know by your IPs soon.
I don't believe you.
Yeah. So if you were hacked, then let's raise a police report, shall we?
Yeah. So there's things like that, because she quickly deleted it. And then said she was hacked. And it's like, no, you meant to send a DM.
Yeah, I was hacked. Press the wrong button.
Yeah. So you can go and remove stuff like that. I just think I've always been frustrated because remember they had that whole thing about you can see your last 3,000.
Yes.
And then you could download, and you couldn't download an archive of it, but then you could download an archive, and you were like, I know it must be technically, and when you read their actual technical post about what they had to do to serve this up, it's like, wow, that actually was very complex. The only slightly narky bit is that it's just the beginning of the end for the third-party apps, and we've known that for years, but this is only going to be in the official Twitter apps. No other third-party will have access to the whole stream, the whole search.
And I'm guessing, you can only search with it. It's not meant for data mining. If you are a data miner, you still got to ask for their access, I guess, to their fire... I can't call it the fire hose or whatever they call it.
But you can go in and search.
So it's out of interest. You can go and look at your own tweets, right?
Yeah. But you can also go in. You can go in and do like user, you know, like Cheesy UK, and then put in like dates and put in terms and put in other bits and pieces. So you can actually go and start to surface out really interesting tweets.
Okay. Well, all I'll say, if you are searching my tweets, then make sure the date range is big, because otherwise you won't get anything. Amazon has added UK pickup points. 10,500 UK pickup points. So you don't have to have it delivered to home. You can, if you know you're not going to be in, have it delivered to post office branches around the UK.
Another good move. I mean, I remember when they first started doing this, was it Click and Connect to call it? Yeah, Click and Collect. And there was like so many shops not near me. There was only like one. I was like, that's rubbish. And then it just almost feels like in the last year and a half, you know, they've got all these... You know, Amazon lockers, they've got all these click and collect stores. You can also return via them, and now you've got all these post office.
Yeah, and even my local corner shop kind of thing has got a service. I don't think it's necessarily linked up to Amazon, but I see packages there all the time getting delivered off and stuff. So it is a required service nowadays. And it's much more efficient. If someone knows they're not going to be in, there's no point having a van drive to your door. But up until recently, it was a very fixed process. Nowadays, with the, you know, you can define down to like an hour your slots. It's starting to become more practical. But this click and collect is the last step, really.
Yeah, well, I actually think, because in the last 6-8 weeks, I don't get any DPD posts anymore from Amazon. It's all Amazon Logistics. So whether they're, and there was a big push earlier this year that they said they were going to move to their own logistics service. But the only logistics service is basically a white van will turn up between 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. And invariably I'm at the end of the run. So I'm getting stuff coming in at 6-7 o'clock at night.
It is a bit disconcerting, the fact that you have these weird vans and these weird people, and there's no saying who they are.
I'm not saying people are weird. That's just clearly
you. They are.
I'm not saying a white van is weird, because Labour politicians...
No, but it's all unmarked. It's not, it doesn't...
No, because you're a snob for saying a white van is in some way weird. Labour politicians lose their jobs for doing that. But that's because Miliband is weak.
A Labour politician. No, and I would say sometimes... I've had things delivered from cars before now, not even vans. So it just... it's whoever they've got signed up in their local area.
Yeah, but that was some blow-up dolls that you ordered. That was nothing to do with Amazon. No.
Shush, they said that was anonymous. Nokia is back building hardware. I say they're building hardware, in inverted commas. They basically released an Android tablet, $249, and it's got good specs. It's got in Nokia style, they've got their own launcher app that they're putting over the top of Android Lollipop. But they're not making it. They're actually farming that out to the Middle East.
Yeah, Foxconn. So Foxconn's basically built an iPad Mini for Nokia.
It looks very nice.
It looks like an iPad Mini.
It does. 7.1 inches, is it? 7.9 inches, and it's 6.9 millimeters thick. So it's a nice sleek model. Just as we thought, that it's safe to go back in the water, they seem to be trying to come back I guess they're just marketing their name.
Yeah,
really.
And I guess that there will be places Nokia is still a trusted name. You still will, I've had a Nokia, the battery life's great, I trust them. And no brand's infallible. We've seen Samsung, it looks like that Samsung have sold 40% less S5s this year, which is massive.
People are just incredibly fickle nowadays.
Yeah.
There's no brand loyalty. You know, a lot of conversations I have is, I just want an Android tablet. I want the cheapest one I can get. And I'm like, well, you know, you can go down the Huddle route or whatever. And Tesco, yeah, fine, that'll do. Or there's cheaper than that. And you think, that's going to be a bit of a dog's dinner. But if you want just the cheapest thing, then go for it.
And we had a discussion at work very recently. You know, we just talked about what's the right price point. If we wanted to go and buy, you know, hundreds of tablets, do we buy hundreds at 90 quid? Does it have to hit 90 quid? And it's like, but the experience is awful.
So you're
not really saving money. You know, put yourself in the user's shoes who's having to use a really slow tablet and, you know, go through menus and it's all a bit crash-tastic because there's not much RAM. That's not a saving. You know, that's false economy.
Yeah, well, we know that. But from a consumer point of view, you know, if you do just want something in the lounge to go and order, have a look at the web page, then even then you're still not having a nice experience. But you know, is it worth the risk for 45 quid? Maybe. Yeah,
and just when you said when you want a cheap tablet, go and order, I was outraged this week because like Domino's or Pizza Hut had released their Xbox app and all these kind of, like, you know, I don't know, dodgy diet people are saying this is a disgrace and it should be banned. And it's like, hold on, it's been in phones and web and everything for years. What are you on about? This is going to stop kids from getting up off the sofa.
It's just because it's gaming related.
Yeah, cock.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry, that was a bit of a tangent, but it did make me annoyed.
Enabled you to say cocks in a very civil way. is that word? No, vociferous. Is that the word?
Ed Miliband. Cock.
Now that was freebie.
He irritates me. It's a disgrace.
So he bugs me as well. That is the end of this podcast. That's all we got to say. So if you want to find out more about us, what we say in our spare time, you can do info@digitaloutbox.com if you want to talk to us is our email address. Sorry, www.digitaloutbox.com is our web address. This is all over the place. Get your act together, cheesy. Twitter is Digital Outbox and Skype is Digital Outbox. I am on Twitter as Cheesy UK. I am blogging at academyracer.co.uk. Ian, where can we find you?
I'm blogging at iand.net, and I can say that safely because I put a blog post out last night.
Woohoo!
I think I mentioned to you, I've got all these drafts.
Yes.
The way to get around it, just put up one rapid post and delete the five drafts and incorporate a little paragraph from each and just say, done, 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 done.
Boom.
And I'm on Twitter as Sweeper.
Fabulous. So, at this stage, we're still planning on another one next week.
Unless I can dial in from Washington, I don't think so.
Not next week then. Okay. So maybe one more before the end of the season, just to wrap things up and say goodbye until the new year.
What I'm kind of thinking off the cuff, because I didn't, we either do one early next week, which I doubt because it is slowing down. We'll probably do one, I don't know, that week of like the 10th, 11th December, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that sounds like something to look forward to.
And maybe we should force ourselves to have some festive picks.
Picks, what are they? We used to do them.
Yeah, I think yours will be Dragon Age on the Xbox One.
I've done them. Now I've completed them. They're very good. Yeah. All right. So that's a deal. So we will, we can't give you a schedule, but at some point, one more before the end of the year, probably the week after next, we will talk to you then. Goodbye.
Ta-da. You would make a great filibuster in the House of Parliament. You know, it's like, I'm looking at it, I'm thinking 26 minutes. We're the men. So
when you said it's slowing down, you see, we could spread this bad boy out. I could wait for Cameron to come back in his dinner jacket.
Oh, that was laughable as well. But Miliband's so weak.
I know.
Oh.
You can't vote for him, can you?
No.
You just can't.
Well,
anyone who just can't make a speech, which is kind of the fundamental process of a... you know, they chose the wrong one, didn't they?
Well, and the thing is, I've been, obviously, shame, we've just been through that independence vote, and for the Labour to, you know, to stand next, you know, side by side with the Tories like they did, they should have stood on their own, you know, as a no vote, and said why not we stand shoulder to shoulder with the Tory scum, and we will deliver on this unionist promise. Sod off.
There's genuinely no one to vote for at the moment, which is a bit upsetting. Never mind. I say never mind. Sobbing.
It's the disturbingly, if SNP wasn't for independence, which I know is
yeah. So if it was about yeah,
but they are more socially radical than anybody right now, apart from probably the Greens.
Yeah, which you know, and they have.
I mean, it was like the Greens and a whole lot of other kind of smaller independence parties had a kind of radical independence meeting in Glasgow last week, 3,000 people. And that was at the same time as 12,000 people were listening to Nicola Sturgeon. So to have that many people going and listening, you know, yeah, to politicians shows is amazing. But a Labour MP turned around and called them trots. And it was like, how dare you?
It's more and more, it's why we needed proportional representation. It's more and more why it makes me annoyed that the public chickened out.
Yeah.
Chickened out of it. And more and more, it's because it's going to be more and more relevant. Anyway, we'll see. Wow, are we going? I've recorded all that.
So, if I, well, the interesting thing next year. So, you probably don't get the polls for up here.
No, I don't really know.
But Labour has 40 like Westminster seats in Scotland right now.
Right,
it's predicted that SNP will grab 38 of them, 35.
I know that. I know they've been going on about the fact they actually think the chances next year of independence is far greater than.
I don't. I think the issue could be they could be kingmakers next May. SNP. Mm-hmm. I mean, you could see Alex Salmond as your next Deputy Prime Minister.
Mm-hmm.
Hey! And his smug face...
Or Sturgeon or other fish.
No, Sturgeon's now leader in Scotland.
Other general fish. Is that a requirement for a leader?
No, we've no pikes.
Not yet?
No.
So one will appear.
Plenty of sharks.
Any goldfish?
No. Carp?
You ever could have a carp? Anyway, enough of this. I'm going to click the stop button.
Some monkfish?
The political point.